Come, Holy Spirit, among us, and blow away the chaff and plant deep in each of us the word of life, that we might love our Savior better and follow him more closely. Amen. So if I were asked to select a handful of chapters of the Bible to bring with me to a desert island, no doubt I would select Romans 8, because it's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. It's shot through with hope and full of great promises. And one of those promises is this: we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, when I first discovered this verse, I was a teenager. I'd had an encounter with God which had changed my life. I think I thought it meant that only good things would happen to me. And boy, was I wrong about that. I have had a lot of adversity in life. And I now believe that St. Paul is saying that no matter what happens, objectively good or bad, it is something that God can use to benefit me and to further God's purposes. So it's not a promise about sports cars and promotions, but it, I think, is one of the most deeply reassuring texts of the entire Bible when we find ourselves in unwanted circumstances. Well, last week, I talked about the examine, a spiritual practice of discernment whereby we pay attention to what our lives are telling us as a way of coming more fully in line with God's purposes. This week, we're talking about a different practice and, honestly, a much harder one. We're going to talk about welcoming prayer. And welcoming prayer is contingent on what I just said about Romans 8. This idea that in any circumstances, in any relationship, God can use it to benefit us and to accomplish his purposes. It's a way of welcoming God into the messiness of life. Father Timothy Nock describes it this way: each event in our lives is a gilt-edged invitation to allow God to draw us deeper into the depths of the divine heart. The welcoming prayer is a way for me to RSVP to this standing invitation. So welcoming prayer, as is true for most forms of prayer, begins with silence. And I know silence is often in short supply in our lives, unavoidably so if you're in the active parenting stage of life. But many of us who aren't still manage to fill our silence with the radio or the TV or Facebook or something else. It takes intention often to be quiet during those opportunities for silence. But you come to that place of silence and then you take note of what is going on inside of you. And I'm going to use what I hope is a non-threatening and sort of universally understandable case, hypothetical case study, that Independence Day cookout you probably have coming up this week. So let's say on Tuesday you're going to cookout. Maybe it's a family event, maybe it's a neighborhood event. But if you were going to do welcoming prayer around that fairly minor event, you would stop and say, well, how am I actually feeling about this? You would notice that. Am I feeling anxious, eager, resigned, resentful? And you would simply acknowledge that feeling without trying to edit it before God, and then ask, so why do I feel this way? Am I anxious that once again my mother-in-law will criticize my potato salad? Am I worried that my adult child will show up drunk and embarrass the family again? Am I feeling bored at the thought that once again we will spend the day in superficial conversation and I'll never get to truly connect with anyone else? So then, as I said, you sit with that. And sometimes that's hard to do. probably not about a cookout, but if you are doing this around truly distressing circumstances, I know, at least in myself, that sometimes I don't even want to pay attention to my feelings. I'm so afraid of being overwhelmed by them. Probably a good indicator that I ought to pay attention and bring it to God. So having noticed why am I feeling the way I'm feeling, I pray. And this is a radical way to pray. I think, you know, those prayers, help me, help me, help me. You know, those come to us pretty naturally, don't they? This is hard praying. But if you have somehow bought into the idea that following Jesus is about being nice and doing good, well, then you haven't read the Gospels, because it's a lot edgier than that. And Jesus doesn't buy into doing things the way our culture does. So the first step in this prayer, the first movement, is to pray letting go of your desire to control the situation or to exert your power. And you do it just like that. I let go of power and control in regard to this cookout. And then you say, well, what am I wanting to control? I'm wanting to control the conversational topics. I'm wanting to control my unmannerly nieces and nephews. I'm wanting to control how the strawberry shortcake is made. I want it with biscuits and whipped cream, not angel food cake and Cool Whip. I just let go of that stuff. I let go of it. And what does that do? Well, that frees you to actually be present in the moment and present to the other people and to give and receive love. Because you're no longer trying to control everything. You're just letting God be in charge, which actually is more freeing. But it takes a lot of trust, doesn't it? So having let go of power and control, you do another incredibly difficult thing, and you let go of your desire for esteem and appreciation. And just like that, I let go of my desire for esteem and appreciation. I let go of needing to look good, have my jokes laughed at, have my dessert praised, have my stories listened to. I let go of having my need for affection and esteem met by this event. And then I'm free to give and receive love, and to pay attention to the other people at the party, all of whom have their own insecurities, I can assure you. Now, when I'm letting go of this, I am not throwing it into the void. I am casting myself back on God, who loves me beyond measure. I am looking to God for esteem and appreciation. And that's actually a much more secure place to be. And then the third movement is that I let go of my desire for security and safety. Now, that's not terribly relevant to a cookout, unless you're thinking about not being asked to move outside your comfort zone. But if you were doing this around a job interview or awaiting the results of a medical test, that could be a very, very relevant movement to this prayer. So, three movements. I let go of my desire for control, for esteem, for security. I release those things to God, who loves me beyond measure. I trust him. I welcome God into my circumstances. So this is essentially a prayer of trust. It is, of course, not the only way to pray. It's not always the most appropriate way to pray. But when you're in distressing circumstances, whether they are big distressing circumstances or simply something that's grating on you, this can be a very useful thing to do, to look under the surface of your feelings, to let go of these things, to welcome God and see what happens. It's a bold way to pray. Now, I am often asked, do I have to feel absolutely sincere when I pray this way? I do not think you do. Jesus has very strong and harsh words for people who pray in order to impress other people, rather than to actually connect with God, because that's hypocritical. But to come to God and say, I'm totally wound up about this thing. I feel like throwing up. I'm so stressed out. I can hardly pray, but I want to try to do this. Glue me to you and give me the grace to try. Hey, that's authentic. God will hear that, and it's okay to be in that place. This is a prayer you may need to use again and again. You may need to go hide in the restroom during that cookout and pray it again and again, depending on how annoying your relatives actually are. It's not magic. It's a spiritual practice. It's something we do repeatedly over time to reshape our souls and connect us more deeply with God. So you have in your bulletins a handout that outlines this prayer. I decided not to have us try to do it this morning. It's hard to do it in haste, and I was told to keep this short. But I gave that to you so you could take it home and try it on your own and see what it feels like to have those words in your mouth and see how it changes whatever experience you're praying about. I know that when I pray this in anticipation of some event, and then I get there, and maybe things aren't going the way I want them to, this often comes back to me, oh, that's right, just let go of the schedule or let go of being recognized, you know, whatever it is I need to let go of. And it can be a very, very helpful experience. But now I'd like to invite you to stand up and we will recite together the Apostles' Creed. That great creed of the church, which Christians across culture and throughout time have been using.